Yes, we're back. What a guest again. One of my favourite interviews of all time, Ali McCoy. Thanks for having us.
You're saying that now, right? I heard you were getting interviewed yourself, and I wasn't even in your top five.
Was it?
No. You see, you must say that to other guys, do you?
I kind of put you in a group with four other guys, so you stand alone, do you know what I mean? 160,000 views you got.
Is that right?
150,000 thought it was Question of Sport and I was so back here, but I'll take it anyway, mate. Do you know what I mean?
No, I loved it, I must admit. And it's great, to be back. Great to be back seeing you again, Pa.
It was a career one, but it's a Scotland one we're going to
good.
Do. But before we start, I seen Brazil getting you a bit yesterday for the result of the weekend.
Oh, aye.
So there's only one thing for it, mate. You know what happens when you're going through a bit of a bad time, didn't you? Get the old canal,
there you are, mate. I think my head's grown. That used to fit me.
Brilliant, mate. Get that out of the way. Right, you ready to go?
Yes, we're all set.
Scotland legend, both on and off the pitch. 61 caps, 19 goals on the pitch. Gordon Drury's wingman. Off the pitch, Craig Brown's wingman on night suit, was that right?
I don't know if I was his wingman in night suit, but I'm hope I'm still going the same way he's going at his age, by the way. I'll tell you right now, a remarkable human being that man is. Remarkable.
But growing up Scotland-wise, who was your heroes?
Oh, Kenny and Joe Jordan, and I remember my dad bringing me here, early 70s, maybe 74, we beat England 2-0. I can remember that one. I can remember us getting a doon from England and a centenary game, 5-0. But, oh, great memories. Your first Rangers Celtic game here, I would be about 10 over there in the enclosure. Saying, I tell my boys this, they don't believe me, 118,000 people at the game. And then I can remember, I was at that game, Rangers won 3-2, big time for side in the last minute or something like that. Just unbelievable memories. I remember standing up there, any time Rangers or Scotland scored, right, you couldn't see the game for about 10 minutes with all the dust. I don't know if you remember it. If you don't remember it, you might have seen it in the telly. There used to be a dust come up, right? You couldn't see the game for about the next 5 or 10 minutes. And then you were home for days after it. You were picking bits of soot out your teeth and up your nose and all that stuff.
What was the dust? Was that you opening your wallet?
Not bad.
You're
not bad. Hey, it's a long way to go, though. Don't peak too early.
Obviously, you were a massive Rangers fan, but would you come to Scotland games as well?
Oh,
was that always a dream to play for Scotland?
Absolutely. Any kid's dream, you know, when you wake up, you want to play for your country. And as I say, I remember my dad bringing me, we beat England 2-0. I think it was might have been a couple of OGs. And I remember the game in 77 when Kenny put it through Ray Clements' legs up the Celtic end. Brilliant memories. And then, as I say, we were all our family, obviously, big, big Scotland fans. And as I said to you there, to play for Scotland's your dream, just to represent the country. And as I say, coming here as a kid. And it's funny because Friday night, the Belgium game, it's the same thing. We're coming, I think there's a bus coming for the village and there's about 8 or 9 kids coming, probably about the same age I would be. The younger ones are 8, 9, 10 years age, and we're bringing them all to the game. And for a lot of them, in fact, for most of them, if not all of them, that'll be their first experience at Hampden watching Scotland, so it's great.
Brilliant, eh? 23 you were when you first got called up. Can you remember getting told?
Aye, I can, actually. It was a game in Eindhoven against Holland.
Uh-huh.
I made my debut, and it was tragically, obviously, after I think Big Jock had passed at Cardiff, and Alex Ferguson, I think Walter Smith, and I can't remember who else, somebody else took the team or took charge, obviously in the aftermath of the tragedy down in Cardiff, and I get a call up and I was absolutely delighted. You can't get much tougher debuts playing Holland and away from home, and I think we drew nothing each.
Who told you you'd been called up? How did it work back in?
I think if I remember correctly, it might have been that time. It was probably Jock Wallace, because I remember Jock Wallace having a fallout with Fergie on the phone for Fergie not taking me to the World Cup in Mexico in '86, because
right.
I'd done all right, scored a few goals, and I went up. Big Jock called me up to his office. And only the way by Jock Wallace, phone call for you, right? And it was Sir Alex, right, to phone me up to tell me the news that he wasn't taking me to the World Cup, you know, but if there's any call offs, you know, and I went, oh, no, thanks, thanked him, obviously unbelievably disappointed, because that was another World Cup I should have been at, but anyway, that's neither here nor there, right? So I thanked him very much, and I always remember handing the phone back to Big Jock Wallace, and Big Jock giving Fergie an earful. I should be taking the boy. Slams the phone down. You know what I mean? Brilliant. As disappointed as I was, I still laugh at that story, you know.
Did you not tell us before that Fergie never took you to St Mirren, was it?
Aye, absolutely.
Had done for you back in, didn't he?
Aye. More I think about it, and everybody talks about being a great manager. What about those two for mistakes?
Imagine not taking McCall.
Nobody talks about his mistakes. You know what I mean? I think he's got away with homicide, actually, to tell you the truth.
See, in your debut for him, though, could you see in that one game how good he was?
Oh, aye.
What was it he had? Just
ability, man. It was just something special. You know, you can tell. You can tell, man. Just, you know, you know what it's like. You go in a football park and you can feel and sense brilliance about you. You know what I mean? It's the same with boys like Gascoigne and Loudrup in particular, you know, and you can feel it, you can just sniff it out, you know.
Uh-huh. See, when you were a striker and obviously you're a goal scorer, do you always feel under pressure to score? Even your debut, do you think I need to score here?
Aye.
Any time, uh-huh.
Absolutely. Because there's a ruthlessness and a stroke selfishness that all top strikers, I'm not saying I'm the top striker, but all top strikers have, whether it's Shearer and boys like, I mean, you look at Shearer, right? Shearer just wanted to score goals, right? That was his job. Michael Owen, same, top finishers, top. And there's a single-mindedness that I think you have to have as a top striker to take chances and score goals. Not to the detriment of the team, I hasten to add, but top strikers, a lot of strikers will feel they've not done their job if they've won and they've not scored. Mm-hmm. Right, because the team's the most important thing, I get it. But top strikers think they are effectively judged on their goals.
When you first went into that Scotland team, was there guys that you learned off in the Scotland team, strikers-wise?
Simon, man, I look at the boys that, you know, in and around that team at that time. I think Big Joe Jordan was just finishing. Kenny Dalglish, man, Stevie Archibald, you know, Morris Johnson, Frank McAvenny, Charlie Nicholas.
I'll not ask you what Frank taught you.
Frank, I think you'd be surprised. I think I taught Frank one or two things. But anyway, brilliant talent. You know, those boys are just, Graham Sharp, Speedy, boys like that were playing at a top level, you know, in England and indeed Scotland. sadly, we don't have that at this moment in time, but that was the competition that we were up against to try and get into the team, you know, and it was extremely difficult. And then you look at somebody like a brilliant striker up here would be wee Robbo, probably, you know.
John Robertson.
And probably didn't get the amount of caps he deserved, you know. Mm. Wee Robbo was a tremendous goal scorer. And I played up front with guys like Wee Robbo as well. So, but at that particular time when I was fortunate enough to be breaking into the national team, I mean, crikey. Like I said to you, the competition and the names of just would walk into any team, any international team in the UK, whether, you know, as I say, it was Kenny and Stevie Archibald and boys like that. I mean, Stevie Archibald's playing with Barcelona and things like that, you know. Top players. Paul Sturrock's another one I've even mentioned. What a great player he was.
Some squad that. Andy Roxburgh then got the job.
Yes.
You started to play regularly. How was he as a manager?
Ah, he was great. I mean, he was great, Andy. I mean, Andy was probably different to any other kind of coach or manager that I had, in the respect that he was not that the other boys weren't. He was more meticulous in his preparation and everything, you know, because up until then, you know, I'd been managed by guys like obviously Jock Wallace and John Gregg and people like that, and all of a sudden Andy had come in, and at that time, tactics were just coming more to the forefront of not just international football, indeed club football. And Andy was very, very forward thinking, as I say. He was meticulous in preparation, set up and set plays, and whether it was the shape of the team and all that stuff. So, no, Andy was very, very good. And well, I should say, you've got to remember, at that particular time, you know, we're qualifying at that, with the World Cup in 86, with the World Cup in 90, you know, with the Euros in 92, we never made 94 World Cup, we were Euros in 96, World Cup 98, you know, so that was a very, very successful period for Scotland in terms of qualification, in terms of, you know, the international team doing okay.
Did he say to you, you're my main man?
No, he never said that. He never said that, but I always felt at that particular time, myself and me Mo, you know, if the two of us were playing at club level to any level, which we should be, then we would be difficult to displace in the national team. And I've got to say, he was a sensational football player.
Top player.
I've gone on record as saying, Simon, and I'll say it again, his first year when he came back Maurice Johnson and played with Rangers, I honestly think he was in the top three strikers in the world at that time. For that period. For that period of his career, because people peak and have peaks and troughs through careers. But for that year, he was absolutely unbelievable, and he was a brilliant player to play with. A centre forward who was totally unselfish, right? Which
you know, like yourself.
Which I've in contradiction to myself, right? But he really was a 100% team player, the wee man, and a great player to play with. Uh-huh. So I just felt, as I say, at that particular time, I felt if Morris and myself were playing at any level that we should be, that we wouldn't be automatic picks, but we would certainly be, you know, difficult to move and budge.
Now, you mentioned it there. How buzzing were you to go to your first World Cup in 1990?
Buzzing, man. It was just, what an experience. But I remember the game out there against Norway. I think we just had to avoid defeat, because we had some brilliant results in that section. We beat France here, a proper team. We beat them 2-0 out there. One of my favourite nights out there against France, kind of wet night. We literally arrived about 15 minutes before kickoff. We caught up in traffic and went out and we beat them. And then we played, as I say, it was Norway, I think we played, and we just needed to avoid defeat. And I scored. Delighted, great memory, lobbed it over the big Spurs goalkeeper, I think it was Torstead that was in goals at the time. And then we're home and dry, with 2 minutes to go, Big Jim Leighton threw one in, I swear to God. he must have backed Norway for a draw or something, right? It was Big Jim, the normally 99% reliable Big Jim. It was Erland Johnson, it was, who went to Chelsea, I think he hit one for just outside the Celtic end, man, and he scored it, and he scored into the Rangers end. Big Jim was right. So, as usual, in typical Scotland style, for the next 90 seconds, we're biting the nails. But anyway, thankfully, we saw it out, and we went to Italy, which was just absolutely fantastic. And with guys in the team, like, you know, big Alec McLeish, great, absolutely tremendous, you know, manager now, but tremendous player. And McAnally was another one that was playing up front. What a career he had. Celtic, Aston Villa, Bayern Munich. I don't know if you know it. He played with Bayern Munich. You know.
Well, in Germany. Huh?
Oh, big shyness.
Brilliant. See how you're talking about all the players. Was the spirit in the squad?
Spirit was brilliant.
Who were the main men?
Oh, McAnally.
Was he funny? Right.
Oh, he's funny. He was. I'm telling you right now, Simon. Brilliant. You couldn't knock him down with a demolition ball, right? fearless, right? I roomed him in the World Cup. You don't know this, don't you? No. Oh, you may hear us. I'm rooming him with the World Cup, right? So we're taking our bags, we're all excited. World Cup, on you go. We're getting our identification and all that stuff, our passes. So we check into the hotel in Rapallo, right? So we get to the door, and he goes to open the door, and he closes it again. I goes, what are you doing? He went, I look at him. He goes into his bag, right? Gets a big photograph he sell, right? Big sticker with a Bayern Munich strip, licks it and goes, sticks it on the door, right? He said, I want everybody in this hotel, he says, to know where Big Jake for the Munchen's living, right?
For the Munchen.
For the Munchen. So he sticks a big photograph of himself on our door, right? Brilliant, absolutely brilliant. So I need to tell you, we're doing for a team talk, Andy and Craig Brown's reading out the team, right? So they did it strange. They took the goalkeepers, told them who's playing, took the defenders, told them the defence. So he takes the five forwards. So there's me, Big McAnally, Wee Mo, Gordon Jury, and Robert Fleck. So I've scored the goal at Scotland there. Wee Mo firing, I think, certainty to start against Costa Rica, certainty. So he sits around there and Andy says, right, boys, he says, opening game, World Cup, tough decisions, selection, it's not easy, but some of you will be disappointed. But anyway, he says, I'm going to start with Mo and Nally, right? And he says Nally, but I think he says Ali, uh-huh. Right? So I'm thinking, oh, that'll do for me. It's lovely, right? So I'm going, right, okay, but we won't, right, bump. And I can remember now thinking, Craig Brown's looking across the table, and he must be thinking to himself, Christ, he's taking this hell of a while, you know what I mean? So anyway, eventually, he says Nally again, right? And I went, he said Nally there. So this and that. And then he said Nally, Nally. I'm like, I'm not playing. I can't believe it. So I'm devastated, right? Yeah. Devastated. So usual, what do you do when you're devastated? Straight up, you phone your dad, don't you? So I'm on the phone to my dad. I said, Dad, he's not playing me. Open the game of World Cup. I've played all right. No, calm down. Just calm yourself down. I'm not, usual, right? So just then, my door's open. with a big photographer, the Munchen man, who's now playing. He's not kicked a ball in any of the qualifiers, and a big Munchen man, and I'm rooming with him. It's just a disaster, right? So I can hear the lift doors open, right? And I went, Dad, I need to go. Here he's coming, right? So I turn the foot. So I pick up my wee book with the Sudokus, right? I'm doing my Sudokus like that. So all I can hear is somebody singing The Flower of Scotland, walking along from the left, right? So I swear to God, I'm like, I can't believe it, I'm raging, right? So he walks into the room, and I'm going like, I can't even lift my head to look at him, right? I'm going like, my Sudoku. He says, oh, you. I went, what is it? He went, get that light off. Some of us have got a game tomorrow, right? So he says, get that light off. Some of us have got a game tomorrow. I was like, right, I'm raging, and he's singing and all that stuff. Anyway, the good news is, it's got a happy ending, this story, by the way. I wouldn't be telling him it didn't have a happy ending. Beat 1-0. He is a howler, by the way. Howler. I'm sitting there going, like, I've got a doll of him in the dugout, and I'm sticking pins in it and all that stuff. Right? Right? So anyway, it's a nightmare. Costa Rica beat us 1-0. So we're playing Sweden. Same thing. He names the team, right? So the good news is McAnally's dropped, right? The bad news is I'm still no playing.
No way.
I'm still no playing. So he plays, I think it was Wee Fleckie he played. He came from nowhere, Wee Fleckie. I don't think he was in the squad. He just turned up, his supporters, and anyway, he's got a game. So anyway, Wee Fleckie playing. So I don't need to tell you, big McAnally, right up in the room, he's on the phone, his dad, old Jake, a lovely, lovely old man. And he's going, Dad, I'm not playing. I thought I did all right and all that stuff. And I'm like, you're beauty. So I come in the room, right? And I've got my Sudoku there. And I went, oh. He says, what is it? And I lobbed the Sudoku. I says, here, you'll be able to help me tonight.
Ah, oh, brilliant.
Magic. That was a morale. That was a crack, you know. And with boys like Big Craig Levein. Big Craig Levein's a tremendous player, you know.
Somebody else said that on here. Derek Ferguson was.
I'm telling you, Sam. Big Craig Levein got a couple of really bad knee injuries. I thought he would have went right to the top. Wow. He had the ability to defend in places like, in my opinion, Italy and things like that, certainly down in England. So with Big McPherson and boys like that, and as I say, Big Alec, with a real Stuart McCall, real good squad of boys, Big Jim and Goals and the Andy as well. So, no, great memories.
You hear now about like boredom at World Cups. Did you have that? How did you keep yourself entertained?
There was everything going on. You know, we could watch films and all that. We didn't have the things the boys have now with the computers and all that stuff, but we kept ourselves going. We would have wee quiz nights and sports quiz nights and all that stuff, and we'd have movies, watch films and all that stuff, and, you know, we'd go to a walk. We kept ourselves going. It was great.
Would you just get a beer of that now? Would that not be allowed?
No, really, no. No. To be fair, I know it sounds crazy, but we were very, very well behaved. It's too big an occasion, do you know what I mean?
How's the buzz around that World Cup? Was it brilliant, the stadium? Was it a big mess in Dortmund?
It was magic. I mean, I still think it was one of the great World Cups. The Italian World Cup really was. There have been some good ones. I mean, the Russia one, which I know we're going to talk about later, was sensational. France 98 was excellent. I loved South Africa. I thought the South African World Cup was brilliant. But to be involved in one 1990 would certainly take a bit of beating.
Who were the top players that you've seen?
Well, that was Scalacci's World Cup. Scalacci, right. Toto Scalacci was brilliant that year.
The Italian boy.
Yeah. He was scoring goals all over the place. The Irish lads went on a great run as well, if I remember. I can remember big David O'Leary scoring a penalty. I think against Romania or somebody. They went on a great run. I'll tell you right now, England were as good as anybody in the whole tournament. They lost two. Was it Germany? They lost two in penalties.
Was that Gascoigne crying?
Aye. They were a proper team. Big Terry Butcher, Gascoigne, and Piercy and Waddle and all those guys. They would have, in my opinion, they would have won it.
If they'd beaten Germany
in penalties in the semi-final. Some great players. The England team was very, very strong. And I think Germany went on to win the final. Bremer scored a penalty with his right foot. I can't always remember. He scored with his right foot and he was left-footed, mental, against Argentina. And Argentina, the reasonable side as well. But some great players.
You talked about that England team there in 90. How good was that compared to the team in 96 where Gascoigne was in his pomp, shall we say?
Very, very similar. Some of the older brigade, remember, I think Big Terry had moved on. You know, Seaman was obviously in goals. I think Tony Adams and boys that were coming through. That England team in 96, again, would have and probably should have won that tournament. You can still see that semi-final against, was it Germany again? I can still see the ball coming across and Gascoigne kind of sliding in and probably could
have...
And they would have won that. Gascoigne at that particular time was you know, one of the best players going. There's no doubt about it. They were a very, very good England side. That said, in our game against them, honestly, God, I know it's the old one if your auntie did this and all that stuff, but if we scored a penalty, I think if we'd scored the penalty, we might have gone on and beaten them.
One thing I was desperate at, why did you not hit the penalty? Why did you not hit the penalty?
Because, I tell a story, I still think it was a mistake that Craig Brown made in saying, and I've discussed it with Craig before, and I would never do it again as a coach or a manager, tell somebody before the game who's taking the penalty. I don't think you should ever do that.
No?
No, I don't. I think you should say whoever fancies the penalty takes it. Because, for example, not that Gary was having a bad game, but if you appoint somebody to take a penalty, right, say, right, Ali, you're on the penalties, I might be having a stinker of a game, right? Now, the hardest thing to do and the right thing to do would be for me to go, like, I'm not having a good game, guys. I don't want to take the penalty. That's not a coward's way out. That's what should happen, right? But I just think that you put pressure on somebody if you're telling them to take a penalty before the game. Because, well, if you get a penalty, in all the teams that I've ever played with and played for, you'd four or five guys go, like, I'll take the penalty. That's great. So, as I said, I think Gary was told he was taking the penalty before the game, right? Listen, Gary could have scored it. I could have missed it. John Collins could have missed it. These things happen. But I just think, and there'll be people who disagree with me, I just don't think you say to somebody, it's different for a free kick, you know where you're going, set plays, you mark, that's my job and all that stuff. But taking a penalty, you know, should be left to somebody who is playing well and really, really confident about taking the penalty. It's without doubt, you know, my biggest regret probably in football, not taking that penalty.
Really,
eh? Aye, oh, without doubt. And by the way, I could have missed it as well. Mm-hmm. I could have missed it as well. And the bizarre thing is, I mean, I tell people this story, the ball moved.
That Uri Geller said that, didn't it?
We had him on that talk sport, mm-hmm. Uri Geller, right? Honestly, God, about 2 weeks ago, right? I couldn't believe it, right? And he's up there and said, yes, I made the ball move, right? And all that stuff, and I did this, and I did that. Of course, I was like, because you know, I made it move into the back of the net, Uri, by the way, just give us a break, you know. So he's still claiming it that he made the ball move, but it did move. I was standing on the 18 yard box at Wembley, and as Gary went up to hit that ball, it definitely moved. Incredible.
Crazy, yeah.
Crazy.
The other thing for that game was Gaz's goal. sent Henry for a hot dog, didn't he?
Oh, bad.
How good was that
bad
goal?
Bad Colin. What are you doing, Colin?
Pair of high heels on here, don't it?
Oh, man, he was lad dancing on ice, a big fella, wasn't he?
Yeah. Were you with Gaz the Rangers at the time? Would you noise each other up on the way up to the game then?
Oh, aye. Noise each other on the way up to the game. I mean, I've still got his jersey for that game, and I think he had two jerseys. He gave one to Stuart McCall for his son, they gave one to me for my son. But I'll tell you a story about that game. So I hate it. Brilliant. Go for it. Do you know that goal was that brilliant? Gascoigne never mentioned it to us, and I'm deadly serious. See, if it'd been a tap in, if a goalie had made a save and he'd knocked it in for half a yard, he would have made our life a misery for the next 5-6 years, right? But because it was sheer brilliance, I think even he knew it was brilliance. I'm not saying for a minute he was embarrassed, but he didn't want to lay on thick because it was a bit of genius. It really was. It was a bit of genius. But by Colin, man, what are you doing, Colin?
I think you said I'm over it, guys, isn't it? But you scored against Switzerland in a major tournament. That must have been a great feeling.
Oh,
eh?
God.
It was a great goal as well, wasn't it?
It was a good strike. Delta. I should have scored actually before it as well from a corner. One get knocked across. I should have scored it for a corner, but it was a knocked into Gary, and Gary McMack was a brilliant. It was a 3 or 4 yard pass, but it was tremendous because he just threw the boy and he just rolled it there, and I didn't have to break my stride, and I just hit it, and it was magic because as I hit it, I could see it start outside the post and it flies in, and as a wee guy, Fisco Bride, that I used to go to school with behind the goal, Ian Buckin, Buki, right, and I can still see it in the camera. I can still see him jumping up and down behind the goal.
Amazing,
so, eh? It was brilliant.
But we lost out on, was it Holland scoring a goal?
Holland scored.
How sickening was that?
That's just Scotland. You know, it's just Scotland. Because we got to the stage, if England had kept it 4-0, we'd have qualified with England. And it'd have been, we probably deserved it and warranted it. But I think I was winding him up as well, Big David Seaman, he was on the radio as well. Yeah. And it was Clive that hit one, I think it was about the 88th minute. And I think it went through Big David's legs. Mm-hmm. And of course, that goal meant that we didn't qualify, which is amazing. Another hard luck story from Scotland.
See, if you did go through a joint, you could have went far in the tournament.
You're taking your chances. Mm-hmm. I honestly believe it.
Was that a good team that year?
Huh? Oh, aye, we had a good side. We had a very good side that year. I mean, and when you reach the knockout stages of that tournament, you might not be going into the game as favourites, but you take your chances. You'd absolutely take your chances. As I said, there was nothing in the England game when they beat us 2-0. And they ended up, they probably should have won it, you know, because they gathered a bit of momentum. Very unlucky not to win the semi-final. So my point is, we wouldn't have been favourites, but would have taken our chances and fancied it, yeah.
So France 98, never called up. Alex Ferguson at it again.
Ah, definitely. He's never admitted it, but I think he phoned Craig Brown. I think he phoned Craig Brown. I need to chin him about it. He said, Craig, you can't take him. So, obviously, I mean, I was devastated. I'm not kidding. I broke my heart. I really did. I remember getting the news down in London that he wasn't to take me, and I was. I greeted my eyes at it. Devastated. I still think it was a massive mistake. I still think I should have gone. I mean, I scored, I think, for Rangers in the cup final against Hearts. My last game, and I firmly believe I should have been taken, because I certainly don't think I would have played 90 minutes all the games. But I thought if we'd needed a goal, I was still maybe, no disrespect the other boys that went, I was still probably our best chance and our best option. So I was really, really disappointed. That said, it's life, you know, you just got on with it. And I went to the World Cup, and I actually had a really enjoyable World Cup. I was working with guys like Martin O'Neill and Des Lyon and all that stuff, and it was a fantastic experience. Going, as I said, touched on it earlier, it was a great World Cup. The French did really well, host nation, and obviously won it. But in terms of the disappointment, that would have to be, you know, the biggest disappointment in my career.
Was it explained to you why you never went?
Not really, no.
Which probably makes it even harder.
Listen, I know what it's like being a manager and coach as well, having to pick teams and pick squads. I have spoken clearly to Craig since, you know, and he has said to me he thought it was a mistake now. Mm. And I do appreciate him for saying that, I really do. It doesn't soften the blow that I didn't go, but it kind of backs my own theory up that I should have gone. And it does make me feel slightly better, although it was still, without doubt, an incredible blow.
Mm-hmm. Just last question on the playing career. Who was the best you played with in the Scotland teams?
Wee Mo at that particular time. Wee Mo, I tell you, Paul McStay, a great player as well.
Right.
I mean, I really enjoy, I think I said to you last time I was speaking, Paul McStay was a terrific player, absolutely terrific player. He was great, he was excellent. But in terms of striking partner, it'd have to be Wee Mo. Wee Mo, as I said, for a couple of years, him and I have played up front. Some great memories, beating France out there and things like that, you know. And at that particular time, that period, he was in fire, the wee fella. Fire and a great player. But, I mean, we'd a proper team. You know, with Muller McLeish at the back, Andy Gorham, Jim Leighton, Richard Goff. You
top
know,
players.
Top players, top you players. Know, absolutely top players. Very lucky.
On to the coaching. Walter Smith asked you to be a coach for him. How happy were you to take that job?
Oh, Sam, I went for a bit of lunch with Walter. He said, I need to talk to you. I said, sure. And he got the job. He said, you fancy coming to international setup with me? And I went, absolutely. And I genuinely thought it'd be with the 18s or the 21s. Mm. And I said, what have you got in mind? And he went, oh, no, with the team, the national team. He said, I want you and Tam to be my assistants and help me. And I went, are you kidding me on? I said, absolutely. It was absolutely fantastic. It was great. It really was. And a wonderful experience. And at that particular time, with a great spirit and a great, you know, a great team. And I just thought, you know, it was great to be part with a wonderful team on the park. But with Walter being head coach and manager, and myself and Tam, with a lovely blend, everything round about it, and it was great. All the boys in the squad, you could see they were actively enjoying coming to training, coming to the setup, and enjoying playing. And that hadn't been the case for one reason or another previously. So, you know, there was a bit of work had to be done. And I remember Walter taking us, we went down south to a place just outside Manchester, and, you know, on one of the breaks. And he just got the whole squad together. And I think he took about 40 of the lads down and just had a chat with everybody and, you know, what's required and, you know, where we've been and, more importantly, where we want to get to and how we're going to achieve this. And you could just feel the wee spirit getting together. And that was a good side and great days with Tam. And
what did you think when you seen that draw, France, Italy and Ukraine? Oh, wow. Must have been shitting yourself. Aye.
I mean, that was unbelievable. I mean, never mind France and Italy, Ukraine were some side. Uh-huh. They had Shevchenko and boys like that. They were proper team. And at that time, do you know what I think? At that time, Italy were the world champions, right? Because they beat France in penalties, I think, in the final. Was it 2006 they beat them in the final? I was at the game in Germany. But I think it had just turned a little bit. And I think at that particular time, I thought France were actually a better team than Italy. Wow. You know, I really did.
Two of them,
with the two of them, and then the Ukraine. And we played the game out there, and Gaz Caldwell scored, right, to put his 1-0 up. And by the way, they absolutely battered us, right? I'm telling you, they started finish, battered us. And we were hanging on. And I can, do you know what I remember about the game? See, with 5 minutes to go, 10 minutes to go, we were launching it into the stand and over the stand, right, as far away as humanly possible. And the crowd were all cheering. Right? We scored a goal, they were cheering. But that result, when we beat France, was sensational. And of course then, Big Alec actually took the boys to Paris, and wee Faddy scored the goal and won 1-0 over there. But the game against Italy here as well, where I think we should have been given a free kick. But at the same time, if you look back, I think wee Barry might have been offside for our goal. Right. So it's kind of swings and roundabouts.
Do you think if you and Walton at that stage, you'd have qualified?
Oh, I don't know. I really don't know. It was, you know, regardless of what a lot of people think, it was really hard to leave at that particular time. You know, the only reason we did leave is because of where we were going. Mm-hmm. We might have. You know, some we might have. But I think to qualify from that group would have been a quite incredible achievement, because as you've rightly said, never mind those two teams, the Ukraine were pretty special side as well. I think we beat them here, and I think the Ukraine beat us over there. So, but that was a good Scotland team. And nearly, but not quite good enough.
What players impressed you for that team?
Ty Caldwell's attitude impressed me from that team. You know, I've got to say, mm-hmm. Kenny Miller up front, you know, we scored. He had a magnificent performance against Italy out there. Absolutely magnificent performance, it really was. But we were solid at the back. We, you know, with a bit of steel about us. Gary Caldwell at that time was probably playing as well as he did in his career. So it was some good boys.
Brilliant. Right, on to your commentary now. You and the boy champion were brilliant. How was it for you?
Oh, Simon, it's fantastic. Mm-hmm. Right, the Russia, the whole setup, the World Cup was absolutely brilliant from start to finish. A lot of people were sceptical about it, and myself included, because I didn't really know what to expect. And a lot of the boys, like Wrighty and boys like and Alan Shearer, they stayed in Moscow, and they were based in Moscow. And that was no bad thing, because Moscow was a brilliant place. It was stunning. But at the same time, we had an opportunity. I mean, we went to St. Petersburg, Samara, you know, Sochi, Nizhny Novgorod, Kaliningrad. We went to all these places, and it was magical. The whole thing, organisation, the Russians, Sam, they did it unbelievably well. I don't doubt, I think Mr. Putin said a word with somebody, right? Because the whole thing went incredibly well. Uh-huh. No trouble at all. You know, you see all these nutcases, the Russian nutcases, you see them in the YouTube and all that stuff. They must have been sent away a wee holiday somewhere, right? Because we never, he said a word. Uh-huh. I think a couple of doors have been knocked. Oh, all right.
Keep quiet words in their ears.
Here's what's happening for this World Cup, lads, right? And to be fair, they've took his advice, because there was nothing. People, brilliant. As I say, the travel arrangements, we were flying all over the place. We must have had about 24 flights in the 5 weeks. And I think there was one of them was 10 minutes late. Everything was spot on. And as I said, the Russian people were brilliant. Really, really proud people. You know, there's a mystery about them, because we don't really know, but they were really proud. And it was great. It worked out great, because the Russian team actually
Done well.
They did really well. I was at the game. The big Brazilian right back who plays for Russia missed a penalty. I think it was against Croatia. And they could have, but you could feel the swell of the whole nation getting behind them, which made it great for the World Cup, made it great for Russia.
Uh-huh. But just on you and John Champion.
Oh, man.
How did you, you were flipping quite a bit on that telly, weren't
you? Oh,
did you get off on each other off the camera as well?
Chalk and cheese, John and I. He's organised, ever's meticulous, preparation, half an hour before it, he's there, this, you know what I mean? And I'm running about looking for a hairdryer and all that stuff, washing my face, an iron for my shirt, complete opposites, right? But what a broadcaster, what a professional, right? I mean, the boys wouldn't realise the amount of homework and preparation that goes into it. I mean, we would fly, for example, we're going flying to St. Petersburg for a game on a Thursday night. We'd fly Wednesday morning. You wouldn't see him all Wednesday afternoon in his room, notes, everything, meticulous. He'd phone you up and say this, that, next thing, he'd give you a wee head steer. He played there, you know, the boy's been injured, but he's got booked against that. I mean, incredible, incredible knowledge. And obviously, we've got to do our homework, you know. But, you know, nothing like the preparation that he does. What a pro. And a great lad to be with, you know what I mean? Great lad to be with. I mean, we some great crack. we'd always go for dinner after the game if we weren't flying home. But before the game, honestly, because we're playing again, he was like, you're allowed one beer, one glass of wine, that's it. You know what I mean?
So, is he like that?
I was waiting, going to the toilet. I was giving it an answer, you know? As you do, you know what I mean? But no, great, great pro.
By the way, you came out with a few belters. Kazan has come a long way since it fell to even the... Where did this come from?
Well, it ended up, we're up in Kaliningrad. And we went out for a walk in Kaliningrad the morning of the game. And he loves a walk and he loves about the history. And he said, oh, come on, I'll go. So I went with him and he's got me looking at this. Honestly, we've got this 14th century church and all that stuff. And the big statues of the Teutonic monks and all that stuff. And he's sitting reading it and I'm watching him. And he's right into it. And I thought, oh, I'll have some of that. So we're looking about it. And it's just a throwaway line that day. I said, well, you've got me looking at the Teutonic monks and all that stuff. And it just grew from there. So we're sitting in that particular game in Kazan. And of course, I was doing my homework in the game, but I thought, I'll just have a wee look at Kazan, a bit of the history and all that stuff, right? So it's got to the stage, I'm praying for somebody to get down injured so he can come to me and talk to me about anything other than football, right? So the goalkeeper got down injured, I'm licking my lips, I went, here we go. Right? So he says, Ali, he said, Kazan, your views on Kazan? And I said, I couldn't stop myself. I said, John, it's funny you should say that. I said, it's come a long, long way since it fell to Ivan the Terrible in 1452, right? And I've looked at my, and I can see these shooters. just go like that.
We play Albania on Monday night in the Nations League.
Correct.
With a chance to qualify for the Euros. Can you give us an idiot's guide to it?
Well, I've got a perfect audience for a kickoff to give you that, right? So it should be remarkably easy, right?
Go for it.
Right. If we win the section, Simon, right, you're listening carefully.
Go for
it. You need to throw a double six to understand this, right? If we win the section, we've automatically got a playoff place to qualify for the next Euros, right?
Right.
So that's what we should be setting out to achieve clearly against Israel and Albania. If we top that particular group, four games, the very least we are getting is a crack at a qualifying game to qualify for the European Championships. If we don't do that, I won't go into it, but we've still got a chance of qualifying through the league. Got a league qualifier.
Right.
Don't laugh at me, I'm concentrating. I'm trying to explain this.
You're doing great, mate. If you've noticed,
I'm doing it slowly for you as well. Right. So the fact of the matter is, if we can top the section out of the three teams, Israel and Albania, we are guaranteed a playoff place.
So if we don't finish top of the group, we've got no chance of qualifying?
No. Allow me to explain this, Simon, if I may. If we don't finish top of the group, we then get into a normal section qualifiers. And if we top that, we automatically qualify. Now, if we do top the group with Albania and indeed Israel, and then we go on and finish top of our qualifying section, we automatically qualify and somebody below us takes our position in the playoff.
Got you.
Yeah. So effectively, it's impossible not to qualify for the next European Championships from where I'm sitting. But we'll find a way.
Come on, lads, let's do it.
Got to do it.
Ali, top man.
Great to see you, partner. Enjoyed it.
Cheers.